Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such proof.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Show fresh back from my self-imposed, I guess you can say my self-imposed disappearance on radio airwaves. Anyway, we are back in better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show. I know my lighting is horrible on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. We are back in better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. All right, we got a jam-packed show today, got a lot to talk about. And excuse me if I don't look at y'all all the time, but I got other things I got going on around here. Anyway, you got a jam-packed show this afternoon. And, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, of course, there's going to be more Trump nonsense. And I suffer more than anybody because I watch the news and I have to do. And I'm so sick of this Trump nonsense. But I have to talk about it because my listeners, 70,000 or so, at last count, 70, want to hear this stuff. So I have to suffer through it, you know, and do what I have to do for my fan base. Anyway, glad to have you guys back here. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood right here in the New York City metropolitan area, cloudy all day. I'm not the weatherman, but I figure I'd give you an update anyway, because I'm a helpful guy. Anyway, it's 3 p.m. right on time. It's for the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com. And you know what? In this portion of the Ron Kelly Show, I got to read this stuff. This portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Dawn Ebony Martin Designs. Now, the Dress Envy pop-up shop is located at 629 Bloomfield Avenue, Montclair, New Jersey. She is handcrafted clothing and accessories and more. This is handcrafted stuff. You're not going to find this in any other store but hers. So you can contact Dawn. It's 917-498-0663. That's 917-498-0663. It's Dawn Ebony Martin Designs. And Dawn Ebony Martin Designs is the sponsor of this portion of the Ron Kelly Show. All right, today we're going to talk about, you know, this sudden outpouring. And I may not be saying this in order, but the sudden outpouring of sympathy toward addicts and addiction. Now, you know, most of us know that addicts and addiction has been criminalized for years. Addiction has been criminalized for many, many years, and addicts were thought just to be criminals. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with these people. Now, suddenly because certain people are dying, and you know, and I don't want to say this isn't about, you know, I don't like to inject race into everything because everything's not about race. So, it's gotten to the point now where it's about the haves and the have-nots, people who have and people who don't have. This is a situation we have in America today, where we have the haves and the have-nots. God, I'm not even wired up. The haves and the have-nots. So it's not so much about who black and white anymore. It's about the haves and the have-nots. But in some cases, it does fall along racial lines. Like, for example, now we know black folks and brown folks have been dying from drug overdoses, and we hear the stories about the people with the hands that are this big and all this type of situation. And folks have been dying from drug addiction. Folks have been dying from opioid, dope, you know, and, you know, stuff like that, prescription medicine, Zebras and Codeines and all this type of stuff. People have been dying from this stuff for years. Yeah, I apologize if I'm not looking into the screen at all times. I do have other stuff going on around here. This is a one-man show, and I have to do everything. But you know what? One day it won't be. So people have been dying from drug abuse and drug addiction for years. And for years, drug addicts were criminalized. They went to jail. They were sent to prison. Drug addicts were sent to jail for years, with no sympathy, no, and nothing like that. But all of a sudden now, there are there seems to be a concern amongst not just the state government, because you even have Governor Christie heading up a council, heading up a panel, this commissioned by President Trump. They even have, and even President Trump is supposed to give a major speech today on opioid addiction. Now, for years and years and years, you know, I was watching. Good afternoon, Councilman Luis Velez, out there doing your thing in the Fifth Ward. We see you. Good afternoon. And people have been dying from drug addiction for years. But now, all of a sudden, because a certain segment of the population is dying, there's this big concern about drug addiction. Now, it's looked at as a disease now. And drug addiction wasn't always looked at as a disease. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Baltimore. I didn't mean to get into that much. We'll talk about the Baltimore ceasefire that didn't happen. Why do we need a ceasefire? God, I thought they had ceasefires in like Syria and Afghanistan, places like that. We have ceasefires right here in America. Folks who have had enough and are calling a ceasefire, we will get to that as well. And more Trump nonsense. I'm just so sick of Donald Trump and all. You know, let's yes, Councilman Luis Velez, true and real leadership, absolutely. We'll get to that. So we got the Trump nonsense going on. We got the Baltimore ceasefire going on. And we also have the sudden concern about opioid addiction. Where does this come from? I'll explain it all to you in just a minute. Now, we don't necessarily do local politics here. This is a national show of 70,000 or so folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. Between 70 and 80,000 people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show every week, which is phenomenal for a show of this size. And what's going on now, I understand that Dr. Lalisa Mims, a current school board member and planning board member, Dr. Lalisa Mims, is supposed to be running for council at large. I just heard this today. Now, the Ron Kelly Show does not endorse any candidate, but I do support Dr. Lalisa Mims for councilwoman at large. Okay. Now, the Ron Kelly Show, officially, we never have and we never will. We never will endorse anyone for any office, because what if they lose? No, but we never endorse anyone. But I do support Dr. Lalisa Mims' candidacy for councilwoman at large in the great city of Patterson. I do. And Councilman Luis Velez endorses her as well. So we wish Dr. Mims well, Dr. Lalisa Mims, we wish her well on her quest to become the councilwoman at large in the great city of Patterson. And we'll get to talk about Patterson and all some of the other things that are going on when I do my segment about the opioid addiction. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about that as well with the Baltimore ceasefire. We got all of that coming up for you right here on the Ron Kelly Show. It's about 10 minutes past the hour. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's August 8th already. Can you believe it? It's August 8th already. I can't believe it. So if you got anything to go, you better go now. Yeah. So anyway, all right. And also, once again, this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Dawn Ebony Martin Designs. Call 917-498-0663. That's 917-498-0663. The website is www.dawnebonymartin.com. That's www. I didn't have to say that anymore. www.dawnebonymartin.com. She's on Twitter, follow @DressNB. Now, this show, the Ron Kelly Show, is you can hook up with me on Facebook, as you're doing right now. The Ron Kelly Show Facebook page is alive and kicking for you out there. You can check me. And you can check me out on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. That's Ron Kelly Radio for you Twitter fans. And on Instagram, it's RealRKelly1. RealRKelly1. So we have Mr. Trump this afternoon. He's supposed to be giving a major speech on opioid addiction. Trump. Now, let me start with this. Now, this is being touted as a crisis. You know, this is being touted as a crisis. Now, according to the Washington Post, the opioid crisis is intensifying, and dozens of Americans are dying from drug drug overdoses each day. Now, President Trump is planning to hold a major briefing on the issue with top administration officials at his private golf club this afternoon. I don't know if it's gone down yet. I usually have a TV or something on around me today. I don't. But someone from the White House just described it as simply being an update on the opioid crisis, and that the president is still reviewing a preliminary report from a commission on the crisis that urgently recommended more than a week ago that he declare a national emergency. So now the panel that's headed up by New Jersey Governor, soon to be gone, Governor Chris Christie, is heading the panel, and the panel is recommending that the United States of America declare an opioid emergency in this country. Now, there's been an opioid emergency here since the 50s. You know, people have been dropping like flies and people have been dying left and right from opioid addiction for years, for many, many years. And you remember the blaxploitation movies and, you know, and the drug addicts and the dope fiends that were hanging around, standing around the garbage can with the flames going. And now this is an epidemic. This is being called an epidemic because, you know, it's not about poor people anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's not about poor people. Poor people are not dying. See, poor people are still dying from opioid addiction. But another segment of the population is dying. Folks who live, like, for example, in the city of Paterson, New Jersey, where people come from Elmwood Park, and they come from Up County, Wayne, Pompton Lakes, Pequannock. You know, they come from these areas where white people live, and these folks come down into the city to buy dope. And when they buy dope, they're not just buying a bag or two. They're buying like bundles and bundles of dope. They're buying monthly allotments of dope. And they're coming into places like the city of Paterson to buy it because there's no place else to sell dope. You know, there's no other, maybe Passaic, but Paterson, it being the county seat, seems to be the heart of the drug trade in Passaic County, for example. Now, I'm just pulling away from my national audience for a second to concentrate on this Paterson area, because that's kind of like where I am right now. Now, cities like Paterson, depressed cities, are the hubs of the drug trade in lots of areas. Now, city of Paterson, New Jersey, lots of people, white folks in particular, come from different areas of the county. But they come from the nice areas, Elmwood Park. They come from Hawthorne and, like I said, Pequannock, Pompton Lakes, Wayne. They come from all of these places, the white enclaves, and they come to Paterson, for example, or they come from the suburbs and they come into places like Paterson, New Jersey, to buy their drugs. And these are the people who are dying more and more because of the accessibility, because they have the money to buy as much as they want. And these are the people who are dying. So the United States government has formed a task force headed up by Governor Christie, and paneled by President Trump to address this issue. Now, you see, we can't even get President Trump to go to the NAACP convention. Now, 2 years in a row, once when he was a candidate and now that he's president, he wouldn't even go to the NAACP convention, you know. And see, black folks, black and brown, Hispanic people were the people who were dying on a regular basis from opioid addiction. Well, they call it opioid addiction, but we call it, in the hood, you call it dope. And people, you know, these folks are buying, they're coming into these neighborhoods and they're buying dope because prescription drugs are harder to get now. You know, see, because but the government controls what it can control. And the government has put mechanisms in place. So you can't just walk into the drugstore like you used to and buy a whole bunch of drugs. You can't do that anymore. You can't get prescriptions from a doctor as easily as it once was, where doctors would just have a pad on a table and they would just write and write and write and write. If, like, for example, there's a small town, I read about a small town I believe it was yesterday, a town where they've had, like, they've sold 6 million pills, and the town only has, like, 30 or 40 people. These pill mills, they like to call them. So these, it's not as easy as it used to be to get these drugs, to get prescription drugs. It's not as easy. So here's what Trump did now. Shortly after taking office, Trump established the President's Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis. Now, we all know for years, people, you see, black folks know, you know, and I don't make this a black and white thing. My audience knows it's not about black and white. But black folks know that we have been dying for years from opioid addiction. Black folks have been dying for years for opioid addiction. Now, the President's Commission is led by Governor Chris Christie. Now, the group is supposed to be studying ways to combat and treat the scourge of drug abuse, addiction, and opioid crisis. Now, they call it opioid, but we never called it opioid. We called it dope. That's what it was, dope. Plain and simple, you know. We didn't call it opioids. We called it dope. And now there's the preliminary report. The executive order, now Trump made an executive order to create this commission. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, the most recent data estimates that 142 Americans die every day from a drug overdose. And it says, our cities are dying. We must act boldly to stop it. The opioid epidemic we are facing is unparalleled, as the average American would likely be shocked to know that drug overdoses now kill more people than gun homicides and car crashes combined. You know, maybe the average American would be shocked to know that, but I wouldn't, because I've lived in a hood and I've lived in a black neighborhood all my life. And when I was growing up, back in the 70s and 80s, people were dying on a regular basis. People were dying on a regular basis. And so now it's an epidemic. Between now, on the letter that I believe that Christie wrote to Trump, between 1999 and 2015, over 500,000 people have died due to drug overdoses. Now, this is just the people they know about. What about the people they don't? So this is being called now the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, this is being called an epidemic because it's affecting a certain segment of the population, not necessarily white folks, but people who were not affected in the past. Because white people have been dying from this stuff for years. And so now it's being called an epidemic. So what we'll do, I'm going to move on from this. We'll talk about it a little bit more as we go along. It's about 20 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break, and we will come right back with more of this program. It is it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's the Ron Kelly Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And the website is theronkellyshow.com. You know, you can still drop by, even though there's the website is being worked on right now. You know, you can still drop by the Ron Kelly Show, the official store for the Ron Kelly Show, and you can buy all kinds of Ron Kelly Show merchandise, like I sometimes do, and you can too. And no, I don't get a discount for it. Sometimes you can too. So yeah, just go into you can go on the web. It's the official merchandise store for the Ron Kelly Show, and you can poke around in there and see whatever it is you want to see, and purchase whatever it is you would like to purchase. Okay, and also the Ron Kelly Show archive is located on Blog Talk Radio. It's on the Blog Talk Radio website. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/the Ron Kelly Show, and you have access to all the shows I've ever done on Blog Talk, and you can check that out. Okay, so yeah, so this opioid epidemic is not an opioid epidemic. It's been an opioid epidemic for years. You know, black folks have been dying from drug overdoses for years. Blacks and Hispanics and have been dying for years from drug overdoses. So this is not a, you know, and for years drug addicts were being sent to jail, being sent to prison. Look at the Rockefeller drug laws, where black folks were sent, who were addicts, who were selling drugs to get drugs, and who were sent to jail, to prison for lifetimes. You know, a lot of these people weren't criminals. They were addicts, and, you know, and sometimes addicts will sell drugs to make money. They'll sell drugs to get drugs. And a lot of these people who got caught up in the Rockefeller drug law nonsense were people who were trying to make some money. So they sold drugs to make money, and they got caught up in the Rockefeller drug laws, and a lot of them got stiff sentences, 20 years, 30 years, life. You know, President Obama did what he could to get them out of jail, but, you know, it didn't quite work out. So anyway, once again, congratulations to, locally speaking, everybody. Congratulations to Dr. Lalisa Mims, who is Commissioner Lalisa Mims, who right now is a member of the school board, who has already decided she wasn't going to run for the school board again, I suppose, in preparation for running for council at large in the city of Paterson, New Jersey. So I definitely support Dr. Lalisa Mims. Ron Kelly Show does not endorse any candidates, but I do support Dr. Lalisa Mims's candidacy to be a council person at large, the city of Paterson, New Jersey. You know, and you know, there was a 2 hours, as a matter of fact, there was a 72-hour grassroots ceasefire in Baltimore. These people were, there was an organization. This is exactly what should be happening. Folks in Baltimore came together. It wasn't the police. It wasn't the city government. It wasn't the state. It wasn't the feds. The people. Because the only way things are going to change, everybody, is if the people change it. Now, the people of Baltimore, and specifically a young lady named Erica Bridgeford, she was one of the people who organized this, what they call a ceasefire. Now, it was supposed to be a 72-hour. It was a 72-hour grassroots ceasefire. They had that in quotation marks in Baltimore. Now, 40 hours, it did last 40 hours. 40 hours after the ceasefire began, because they did it on the weekend. 40 hours after the weekend ceasefire began in Baltimore, a 24-year-old man was fatally shot Saturday afternoon. Hours later, a 37-year-old shooting victim died at a hospital, pushing Baltimore, the city of Baltimore's homicide total for 2017 is 210. Now, that's compared to 318 for all of last year, according to a tally by the Baltimore Sun. And those kills weren't the only gun violence incidents during this ceasefire that was created by the people. Someone else, a third person, was wounded in the shooting. You know, and I have to applaud Erica Bridgeford and the folks who put this thing together and decided that they needed a ceasefire in Baltimore. And see, the sad thing about this is that that we need a ceasefire in an American town, a town within the borders of the United States of America. Now, when you hear about ceasefires, you know, ceasefires take place in countries that are at war, Syria, Afghanistan, some of these places, Iraq, you know, some of these other places where there are wars going on, they call for ceasefires. But these people, these folks, Erica Bridgeford and some of these other people, got together and called for a ceasefire. So what they did was they went around and they tried to talk to the drug dealers and some of the other kids who hang out on the streets and try to get them to put their guns down. Okay, now they did work for 40 hours. There was a 40-hour lull in the gunplay for 40 hours, and then in the 40th hour, two people got killed. Now, you see, this 318 murders in the city of Baltimore. City of Baltimore is not like it is a major city, but it doesn't have a whole lot of people. You know, you see, now, this is a damn shame that people have to come up and call for a ceasefire in our communities. It's a shame. This is a damn shame that we have to have folks come together to call for a ceasefire in a city within the borders of the United States of America. So people say that there's never been any war on our soil. Yes, there is. There is war. There is war. There's war in the inner cities. There's war. Now, what happened was they had a bunch of weekend events. They had cookouts, prayer vigils, peace walks, and neighborhood cleanups. Now, you see, there are so many people. See, we have to. You know, you can look on any Facebook page, and everybody's. There can be a million people on Facebook, and each one of them shows a different theory of the crime. And everyone is focusing on why, what happened to get us here. And you don't see too many people focusing on how to get us out of this. But there are a lot of people who are focusing on how we got here. But nobody's talking about how we're supposed to get out of this. See, because, you know, we have some folks say, well, you know, in the black community, we need more police. No, we don't. Because no amount of police, unless you have one standing on every corner, unless you have a police officer assigned to every person on the street, crime is going to continue. See, you know, it's no amount of police is going to make the black community safer. I don't know how many schools you can put a new school on every corner, but if the kids don't want to learn, if they're not interested in learning, what sense does it make? So what's needed in the black community is a mindset change. It's not about schools and cops and this type of stuff. We need a mindset change. We need a mindset change. You know, children, I read somewhere that children, maybe one of Dr. Spock's books, that children between the greatest years of development, not growth, but development, is between birth and 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? So a kid's major years of development, what makes a kid what he eventually grows up to be, takes place between 1 and 5 years old. So, and what do we do when a child is between 1 and 5 years old? We're always trying to shut them up. Be quiet. Don't touch this. Don't do it. We all see between 1 and 5, most of us pacify our kids. That's what we do. We pacify the kids, give them this, give them that, put a pacifier in their mouth, give them a bottle, change the diaper. And these are the things you're supposed to do. But we are constantly trying to make the kids shut up. You know, that's what we're constantly doing. And we're not, and these are the years that kids are supposed to be worked on. they're supposed to be taught things. Now you see people, you see white folks in particular, they'll have the baby newborn in the pool. And the baby is just be swimming around all happy. And most of us are horrified by that, that somebody would put a newborn in a pool. But you see the baby swimming around in the pool at, you know, a few months old, 6 months old, a year old, and they're swimming around in the pool, breathing on the water and everything. See, because how do you figure a kid knows how do you figure that a kid knows that if he makes noise, you're going to come and see what he wants? How do you figure that? They figure that out right away. So what happens with a lot of our kids is we just don't, we're just not paying attention to them. You know, we're just not, they're not being raised properly. So we definitely need a, we need a paradigm shift in the black community. We need to change the mindset of people. You know, and that's going to be very, very difficult because once a person grows up and starts thinking a certain way, they're not going to change. Just like the, a lot of these drug dealers and the kids that hang on the streets. You know, some of the young men, in this story here, some of the young men came up to the activists and said, thank you, I appreciate this, I'm trying to do my best. So a lot of these kids feel like they have to carry guns. You know, they feel like they have to carry guns. And it's a crying shame. So, you know, so all right, so we have the, we had the, now the woman who spearheaded it, she was Erica Bridgeford, she's 44 years old, and she was one of six people who got together to try to stop this. And see, this is what we're going to need. We're going to need our people, black folks in the community. We're going to need some people to get courageous, go out there and try to stop this stuff because it's ridiculous and it's never going to end. We need people to get out there and show that they're willing to step up to the plate and try to get these young men to stop killing each other. You know, because a lot of these guys are out here who, a lot of these young black men feel like they really don't have a choice in the matter, that they're just going to die anyway. So a lot of them just stay out there and carry guns. Carrying a gun is a sign of power in the black community. Money, drugs, rims, all of those things are signs of power in the black community. This is what a lot of these young black men hold on to. Not college, not, you know, some of the other things that mainstream America engages in. For the most part, it's guns and drugs and nice vehicles, new sneakers. These are the things that our young black men aspire to get. You know, this is what they aspire to get. So the change needs to be made. We need to take the bull by the horns here and get a mindset change going. Because it's sad the way things are going on in the black community. I mean, God, 200 murders, 210 so far in Baltimore. That's just Baltimore. 210 people died. 318 died last year. So far, between last year and the portion of this year, 528 people have died in the city of Baltimore. Which is sad. Yeah, it's very sad. Sorry, everybody. The phone number here is, by the way, I don't usually give it out, but the phone number here, by the way, is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Also, you can get up at me on Facebook. It's The Ron Kelly Show is on Facebook. And on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio. Instagram is The Real R. Kelly 1. Okay, everybody. So it's about 26 minutes past the hour. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show. If you're watching on TV, it's The Ron Kelly Show. If you're watching on Block, The Ron Kelly Show is on blogtalkradio.com. And right now we are on Facebook Live, in case anybody's watching. And sometimes on the other station. All right, so shout out to Mindy Scarlett Prasad and Jill Ryan of Scarlett Ryan Associates, Scarlett Ryan Consultants, who are the Ron Kelly Show, who handle the Ron Kelly Show. We appreciate them. Thank you for all that you do. And once again, you can go on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. I'm looking at it now. There's quite a few comments that were made here. So, you know, you can go over there too and make a comment, or you can do it here on the Facebook Live page. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back with our last segment. This is The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of The Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Tuesday afternoons, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Stay informed, stay enlightened. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And just and for today, I felt like being on TV, so we're on Facebook Live as well. And you can also catch us on Periscope. I'll keep you posted on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/The Ron Kelly Show. And also on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly. All right, so we talked a little bit about this Baltimore ceasefire, and it's a shame that we have to have a ceasefire in an American city, and it's even more shameful that the ceasefire is being held in Baltimore in a black community. And like I said, we spend so much time on how we got here. We spend a lot of time on how we got here. Yeah, I get it that you have to know how in order to figure out how to get out, but we spend a lot of time focusing on how we got here, and not enough time is focused on how we're going to get out. So this is part of the problem. Everybody has a theory of what's going on in the black community, slavery, and so many other things. You blame white man, you blame slavery, you blame Willie Lynch syndrome, and all these other things that people are talking about as to why black folks are in the position they're in. When really, and we're not really talking too much about how black folks are going to get out of the position we're in. Now, you know, if you ask me, I think that some of these messages are detrimental to the black community. Some of these messages that some people are perpetuating, blaming this one, that one, or the third for why the black man is where he is, I think is some of these things are perpetuating the stagnation that black folks are experiencing right now. You know, and I think it's a shame. You know, Reverend Al Sharpton and these people, Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, I mean, I respect them. I respect Reverend Al Sharpton, what he's trying to do. I respect Jesse Jackson and some of the other people. But, you know, they're perpetuating the same situation. You listen to Reverend Al Sharpton's radio show, for example. I'm not jealous. Don't get it twisted. And you listen to the show and you hear person after person after person call up who are uninformed, who don't really know the details. They don't really know all the details. And you have person after person after person just regurgitating what somebody else said. If they heard it down the block, or Reverend Al Sharpton said it, or somebody else said it, or, you know, and folks are just subscribing to this nonsense that's being perpetuated out here in what's keeping the black community stagnant. I mean, we have to stop blaming other people for our problems. Yeah, okay, yes, we were slaves. I don't take that lightly. You know, that was a major crime. And for anybody to expect us just to forget it is out of their mind. But we have to begin to move forward, though. And some of these messages are getting people's book sales up, are keeping their radio ratings up, television ratings up. And some folks, even our own folks, are making money from these, from this nonsensical declarations about why black people are where they are. And folks are writing books and, you know, and they're on television, they're on the radio, and they're traveling around doing this, that, and the third. And the black people are still where they are. For example, you had the Civil Rights Act, 1964. It was only 53 years ago. 53 years ago. Civil Rights Act. What has taken place since then? Nothing. Has a black man progressed? Or have black people progressed since 1964? No. I mean, is it better than it was? Yeah, I mean, we're not exactly getting, you know, they're not sticking German shepherds on us, and we're not being hosed down with these high-powered water hoses, and there is some justice, if not, you know, not like it is for some people, but there is some justice, but it's not nowhere near what it should be. You see, part of the problem is us. A part of the problem is the black folks. That's part of the problem. Because we, you know, I look on Facebook and I just shake my head when I see some of the things that people are saying about why black folks are where they are. Some of the anger. See, we need to get rid of some of the anger. You know, and there's a lot of angry black people out here talking about how we got where we are. You know, and we need to start talking about how to get out of it. That's what we need to start talking about, how to get out of it. You know. No, Ali, I'm not familiar with the Christian Black Codes, but you know what I'll do? I'm going to engage you for a second because the phone, I'm having a problem with the phone right now. Let me see. Christian Black Codes. Let me see. See, this is another, you know, Black Christian Codes of 1685. Okay. Black Christian Slave Codes. Christian Black. All right, so Ali, which one is it? Is it Christian? There's 100 different black codes here. Christian black codes of 7. Okay. We'll take black Christian codes. Black Christian slave codes of 1724. We'll take that. Okay. Here's what it says. To regulate relations between slaves and colonists, the Louisiana Code Noir, or slave code, based largely on that compiled in 1685 for the French Caribbean colonies, was introduced in 1724 and remained in force until the United States took possession of Louisiana in 1803. The code's 54 articles regulated the status of slaves and free blacks, as well as relations between masters and slaves. The entire body of laws appears below. Now, I'm not going to read all of this because it is extensive. But the Black Code of Louisiana, for example, 1, decrees the expulsion of Jews from the colony. So that means get rid of all the Jews from Louisiana. 2, makes it imperative on masters to impart religious instructions on their slaves. 3, permits the exercise of the Roman Catholic creed only. So you can only be a Catholic. 4, Negroes placed under the direction or supervision of any other person than a Catholic are liable for liable to confiscation. So that means that any black people who were placed under direction of anybody other than a Catholic, that person was liable to lose their slaves. Okay, 5, Sundays and holidays are to be strictly observed. All Negroes found at work on these days are to be confiscated. So, okay, so if you're a slave owner and your Negro slaves are working on Sundays and holidays, they can be confiscated by the governing body, I guess, you know. We forbid our white subjects to marry with the blacks under the penalty of being fined or subjected to some other arbitrary punishment. We forbid. You see, this stuff, you see, now this was written 393 years ago. That's when this was written. 393, almost 400 years ago. This was written. So why the hell are we still focused on this 393 years later. Why? I'm sorry, 293 years ago, this was written. And nobody, if you don't know what I'm reading, ladies and gentlemen, it's Louisiana's Code Noir. I was just referred to this by someone who's watching me on Facebook Live. Okay, in 293 years ago, this was written. And so why are we still focusing on this today? Why? Relevant to who? This isn't relevant to me, because I've never been a slave. There's different, you know, I've never been a slave. Who's this relevant to? See, this is why we got to stop backpedaling to this stuff. Because this is why we're so far behind, is because we can't see ahead. One that says a Negro cannot strike a white person, and in today a white person can't strike us. I mean, depending on where you live. You see, there's always going to be racism. Racism isn't going anywhere. Got about 12 minutes left of the program. Phone number here is 646-668-2838. Hit me up on Facebook, Ron Kelly Show, Twitter, Ron Kelly Radio, and Instagram, Real R. Kelly 1. You know, see, slavery is always going to be here. Those of you black folks out there who are trying to stop slavery or trying to curtail slavery, stop it, because it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop, and it's not going to be curtailed. Slavery is here forever. And not slavery, but racism. I'm sorry. Racism is here forever. This racism is never going to go away, and there's nothing that the black man can do, or well-meaning white folks. There's nothing that can be done about racism. It's here to stay. You can't teach people how not to be a racist. You can't retrain police officers not to be racist. There's nothing that can be done. The only thing we can do is have some unity in our community. We can pull together like some of these other communities, like the Jews, for example. Can't throw the Jews out. Now they're everywhere. They're the most powerful people in America, I believe. The wealthiest, for sure. See, we got to stop, you know, oh, well, people are not going to let us do things. And nobody's going to stop you from doing nothing. Yeah, are there glass ceilings and these type of things? Yeah, we just got to try harder. America wasn't made for you. America wasn't made for black people. It wasn't designed for black people. Yeah, bring us your tired, your poor, or your huddled masses. That was a saying. America wasn't made for us. You look at the Constitution of the United States of America. It was first written, the first draft. Now, this is the draft before I concede that point. But when the Constitution was first written, it wasn't written for black folks. We were in it, but we were called chattel or property. It wasn't made for us. So years later, they have to make amendments. They had to make amendments for us. They had to make provisions for us because nobody expected us to be free. When white folks wrote the Constitution, they didn't expect us to be free one day. They expected us to be, you know, slaves forever. They couldn't even conceive of the notion of black folks being free. Couldn't compute. So this country wasn't made for us. So we're going to have to operate in it in the way it is. People talk about revolutions. It's like, come on now. Come on, that's just going to get a lot of people killed. That's all a revolution is going to do. You know, and I certainly don't want to be sticking my gun out the window, you know. So stop this nonsense about this revolution. We have to work within this system of this country to make our situation better, because there's not going to be any coups, and nobody's going to knock the president out of office. None of that stuff is going to happen. Race war happens, guess who's going to lose? Us. Now, we might build some strongholds in certain places in the black community, in the hood. They might not be able to come in here, but we won't be able to leave. So they'll get what they want anyway. They'll trap us in the hood where we can't get out. And they can go on and live their lives out there in suburban land. And while we're stuck in the cities and we can't leave because they got us trapped in here, which is what some of them want anyway. So why give it to them? So Ali, I understand what you're saying, brother, but the information you sent to me was written 293 years ago. And whether it's relevant or not, we can't afford to keep wallowing in this stuff. Willie Lynch, this Black Christian Slave Code, some of the other things that are going, we can't. Yeah, I've read the Constitution. I know what it says. But why do we, why can't we read? We read what we want to read. We read when we need to research something. We don't read on a regular basis. The Constitution was written 200 plus years ago. I don't know exactly how many years ago. But it was written a long time ago. See, but we're not slaves anymore. Now, you can argue that we are still slaves in a lot of ways. Sure, white people are slaves in a lot of ways too. They got to go to work just like we do. There's white people who work where I work at. They don't have it any better than me. They got to do the job just like I do the job. They got to go out and perform just the way I perform. So they don't have it any better than me. Anyway, everybody, it's about 6 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. It's Ron Kelly Show. You can hit my Facebook page up. It's Ron Kelly Show on Facebook and on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. Okay, we're not slaves. The 13th Amendment, because I don't want to be 13th. Okay, 13th Amendment. The text of the 13th, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly committed. Okay, so basically what the 13th Amendment is saying is you can still be a slave if you're being punished for a crime. That's what the 13th Amendment says. No, it says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime. Right, that's what I said that. You can be a slave if you're being punished for a crime. Or you've been duly convicted. Right, so there's an exception to the slavery rule. Yeah, I get that. And that's why people, go to jail and they have to work and build furniture and this type of things, and the state sells it and pays the people nothing. Yeah, but the first thing you got to do is stay out of jail. And I understand that some people go to jail, arbitrarily, or they go to jail because of something happening. But the hit is, brother, that we need to, again, 300 years ago, we need to, what do we do? So Ali, let me ask you this. What do we do? Because racism isn't going anywhere. Black folks need to stop focusing on these things that happened. I mean, I'm not saying don't focus on racism or slavery, but I'm saying this Black Christian Slave Code you referred me to was written 293 years ago. Yeah, well, for-profit, well, yeah, there are for-profit prisons. What are we going to do to stop it? How do we stop for-profit prisons? By staying out of them. That's how we stop for-profit prisons, by staying out of them. Because you can't stop it. You can't stop it. America, the United States of America was built on commerce. This country was founded on the almighty dollar. That's why we have the number one economy in the world, because the United States of America was founded on commerce. It was founded on free trade. It was founded on enterprise and business. That's what America was founded on. You can't stop for-profit prisons. The only thing we can stop for-profit prisons is to stay out of them. That's the only way we can stop. Yes, some people do go to prison unnecessarily. Some people, innocent people are in prison right now today. But there's a lot of people, black folks in prison who belong there, who did something to necessitate them being arrested and incarcerated. There are plenty of black folks in jail who belong there. So how do we stop these for-profit prisons? Stay out of them. Like I've done my whole life. I've never been to prison. I don't have a criminal record because I chose not to engage in criminal activity. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I mean, you know, I live in a white neighborhood for the most part. Nobody bothers me. I'm not advocating for anybody. I'm just telling you what my story is. And we need to stop with this slavery stuff. And, you know, okay, yes, we remember. We remember, we recognize, we thank those who came before us, the black folks who were massacred. And I'll tell you what, Ali, you call into my radio show next Tuesday afternoon. You call into my radio show, brother. You call into my radio show, 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. You call into my radio show, brother, because everybody should hear what you're saying, not just somebody's reading it on Facebook. Everybody should hear what you're saying. So I invite you to call into my radio show next Tuesday afternoon, and we can discuss this at length. 646-668-2838. You write that down. You call me at 3 o'clock next Tuesday afternoon, and we'll talk about this stuff because we gotta, you know, we all know why. Now we gotta focus on how. How do we get out of this stuff? That's what we need to focus on. How do we get our people together? Not just about slavery, but how do we get our people together? We can't. It's very broad. At last count, there was around 80,000 people, something like that, listened to the program. Those are the only ones that we know of. There's a whole lot more. It doesn't matter how broad the audience is, but there is a large, very large audience who listens to the Ron Kelly Show. Trust and believe. Very large audience. According to the numbers I got from the AM FM Broadcasting Network, who syndicates the Ron. This show is syndicated, so there are a lot of people who listen to the show. We just waiting, making some moves, and we're going to, you know, put the show maybe even on BLS. Gary Bird is getting old. It's time for a change. I mean, it might be me, but we are looking into it. Shout out to my handlers, Scarlett Ryan Consultants, who are going to put this thing where it needs to be. Anyway, brother, you call me. Gentrification and its effects on our community. All right. You call me next week. We got about 30 seconds left, so thank you for engaging me, brother. And, you know, thank everybody else for partaking in the Ron Kelly Show, all my listeners out there, the folks who like the Ron Kelly Show. Go to the Facebook page, click the like button, leave a message, say what's up, whatever it is. You can go on Twitter. You can tweet at me, and you can go to, well, Instagram is basically for pictures, but you can see me there as well. All right, everybody, see you next week. Until then, just be safe out there.